All right, we're going to today continue along the subject of faith a little bit. And the title of my message today is By Faith We Understand. By Faith We Understand. And I'm going to kind of touch on something. I hope it's going to be a little bit, we just got to kind of follow along with our mind and our heart and try to get us to the place I believe that God wants us to be. It's kind of an abstract thought that I'm going to try to get us to be able to understand in a deeper way. But I don't know about you, but have you ever been confused in your own walk in life about the Bible? About maybe some of the things that it's saying? You know, I believe that some of the things that God says in His Word can really stretch us and really pull us out of our comfort zone. And the problem, you know, that we have is that we need to try to make these things all connect. And that's where faith comes in. Because the problem is that we try to understand spiritual things with our natural mind. Now, that doesn't work. Now, I don't believe you just turn your brain off. The Bible says to renew your mind, which is talking about your soul, which is your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotion. So we're trying to get those things to come in line with God's Word. But I want you to really think about this today as we're looking at this. Always remembering you're a three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body, and understanding what those three things are. You know, your body, you can see that, right? We look in the mirror. Sometimes it's more there than we want, right? Sometimes there's less than we want. Also, our soul. We can measure that, can't we? I mean, the school does it all the time. You take a test, and you can tell where you're at in your mind. In understanding the subject matter that you've been going over, right? You can always kind of tell where you're at because it's a measuring stick. So we all have these different measuring sticks. But the third thing is hard to understand, and that's our spirit. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about only the Word of God can differentiate between the soul and the spirit. You know, and that's found in Hebrews 4:12. So we're going to look at this today, and I want us to think that we're trying to approach this from the spiritual side of things. Scripture we're going to look at is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11 is considered the faith chapter, shall we say. It says, By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your anointing here today to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives. Lord, we thank You just for a stirring inside of our hearts, each and every one of us. Lord, to want to draw closer and closer and closer to You. Lord, right now I yield to the gift You've put inside of me. Lord, I want to use that gift for Your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my first point I want to look at today is the idea of by faith. You know, faith is one of those subjects that you and I need to learn how to tap into so that we can be able to, like I've always said, it takes faith to make a transaction in the kingdom of God. You know, many times, you know, now a lot of people don't carry checks anymore so much or cash. They use a debit card and a swipe machine. We're going to get one. We're going to put it back there. No, just kidding. We're not. But, you know, if you need a transaction in this world and you're going to go buy groceries, you know, now some places you can put it on your account. You know, we do, small town, we do have a benefit there. We can do that a little bit. And I have an account somewhere. But for the most part, if you go to a large town and you go through the line and it comes time to pay and you say, put it on my account, they're going to look at you like, say, what? You need cash, you need plastic, or you need a check. That's how you make a transaction in this world. Now, in the kingdom of God, we do give into the kingdom of God, but and that is part of some of the things we do, but that's you can't buy God. You can't get God to move, in a sense, in your life and become, you know, to a degree more spiritual by if you give more money. Now, to me, that's a sign of spirituality to be freed up, but that's not how it works. To do something in the kingdom of God, we have to use faith, and that's how we make a connection, and that's how we make a draw upon God to be able to receive things. So there's an importance to have a faith life. And we all have one to some degree. You know, we all operate by faith, whether you understand it or not. And like I mentioned earlier about a check, you know, have you ever taken a check from somebody that you didn't know? I think we all have. And you take that check, and you're operating in a certain level of faith, believing that the person that gave you the check has the assets in their account to be able to draw from. So there's a level of faith there. Also, have you ever been lost before and had to ask for directions? Now, no men's going to raise their hand, right? Men say, no, I know where I am all the time. But I think we all have been lost. And we take direction from somebody. And have you ever had somebody tell you this? I have. Follow me. I'm heading that way. I know where you're going. Well, then you hop in behind them and you're driving along. And all of a sudden, you see where you want to go. And they're still driving. They didn't know where it was at. So, depends what kind of person you are. If you're a real nice person, you'll just keep following them, right? No. Hit the turning signal, turn around, go back, go to where you're going. But I think we've all followed somebody that maybe didn't know where they was going because they didn't know the directions. And what I think that is, when we follow God, we don't have to be some concerned about that. Because when you and I follow God, God knows where He's going. Not only does God know where He's going, God knows where you and I need to be going. So when we follow Him and learn how to follow Him by faith, then we're going to get to the destination that we need to be. But it's a little different because, you know, we're following somebody that is invisible. We can't really see God. Now, we can see God working in certain situations and certain circumstances, but primarily it has to be on a level of faith that we start to trust Him. Now, remember, we looked at the idea, and we know that faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, right? So, and also faith comes by acting. So we have to have faith to hear. It builds us up, and then we need to act on it to make sure that it's going to start to function and start to flow. Now, as we're doing that, we start to understand some principles and things how God wants to do things in His Word and how we start to follow that. And we need to subject ourselves and our families to the Word of God. You know, I believe the greatest act that a parent can do is to keep their kids in church and how important that is. To be able to give their kids a fighting chance. Now, I come at it from a very simplistic worldview. You know, what led me to Christ is finally I was out in the world, I was doing a lot of stuff, and as always was a nagging thought that I had that God is real. He had delivered me from so many times of bad things happening, and I just couldn't get around knowing that. Well, finally I just decided, you know, if God's real and the Bible's true, then that's what I ought to be doing. Excuse me. That's what I ought to be doing. And if we are of a persuasion that we do believe there is a God, and we do believe that God tried to communicate with us through His Word, and that His Word is telling us certain things in there, then we need to be doing that. And what the Bible says is that, you know, we need to make our peace with God before we leave this planet, right? We need to make sure that all our ducks in a row and everything's kind of falling into place. And to be honest, if we measure this life compared to eternity, then this life is really small. It's dull in comparison. So, you know, we need to understand the fact that, you know, if it's a heaven and hell issue, we need to make sure that we invest that part in our kids' life, the spiritual side of our life. And we need to be in a Bible-believing church, not one that, you know, reads from Reader's Digest and all these things. So the importance of that, by faith comes by hearing. See, our kids are going to hear the Word of God here. They're going to learn all these stories and all these different things in God's Word. And they're going to become proficient, you know, in that. Because what happens then is that faith, in my opinion, helps us to connect the dots. You know, like those coloring books? I haven't colored for a long time. But those them coloring books where you open the page and there's no picture. So the only way you can see the picture is that you have to go from number one to number two to number three to number four. And as you do that, you're going around there, and as you connect the dots, the picture starts to materialize. And you can see what it is you're going to color. Well, it's like that with God. By faith, we connect the dots. We start to see things come together. And the little picture starts to materialize, the things that he wants to do. And that comes by faith, comes by hearing. And then we act on that faith. What do we feel God leading us to do? So we go off and we start to do these things. And that's how we grow. There's only so far you can grow by book learning when it comes to the things of God. I believe then we need to use what God has put inside of us. And then it becomes ours. And then we can start to really grow exponentially in the things of God. Now, you may say, I don't have a lot of faith. Well, the Bible says in Romans 12 that God has given us each a measure of faith. And that technically is tying in to being able to use the gifts of the Father, the creation gifts inside of us. But nevertheless, God has given each of us a measure of faith. While that measure is, I don't know. The Bible just used the word measure. So we all have this measure of faith. But then it's up to us to be able to grow and to develop our faith. And not everybody does that. You know, and that's why we need to get to the place where we see the necessity of doing that. Because, you know, when time, you know, during the easy times, a lot of people don't really need a lot of faith. Because, face it, we live in a great land, don't we? A great country. Our lives are really simple compared to a lot of places. You know, even though we do go through some things. But see, when bad times hit, when the calamity starts to hit and everything starts to fall apart around us, and that's how the enemy hits. He hits us all at once from different sides. That's when our faith is important. And I found out it's better to invest ahead of time than to try to play catch up. And so that's why it's important that we keep putting faith in our hearts and start to exercise it, you know, in the good times. So as we develop it. Now, As we do it, faith comes by hearing, but faith is refined through testing. So as we allow our faith to be tested. Now, just an example of that. Now, I personally don't believe once saved, always saved. Now, I know that's a controversial subject in the kingdom of God. Some believe that you can't lose your salvation. I believe God gave us a free will. We can do anything we want. You know, and that's a God choice anyway. I could go around and say, you're going to heaven, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says, right? He's the final judge. But I'd rather be wrong warning people to be careful than to be wrong telling people you can go out and live and do anything you want. You know, so if I'm wrong, there's going to be more people in heaven than I thought would be there. But if I'm right, then I've done my job. I've warned people to make sure that we're living and walking the way that God wants us to. And it's by grace. It's easy. It's not something hard. It's just a process of getting into a relationship. So that comes through testing. Now, what I mean by that is where I was going before I got off on that last tangent. You know, I've watched people, you know, over the years. Some of them, you know, they kind of, you know, like I've said before, they give God a try. You know what I mean? You know, we don't try God, we do God, but that's beside the point. You know, so they give God a try, you know, and they go out there and they start to, you know, try to do a few things here and there, and then all of a sudden they just fall away. Just fall away. You know, what happened was, is hard times came, and when they were tested, it was like they were being sifted like Peter was, and they fall back. Now, hey, there's still time to get back. Amen? It's not, as long as you're breathing. The Bible says, you know, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. And the way I look at it, as long as you're breathing, man, you got a chance. So don't give up on yourself. Don't let anybody lie to you and say you're too far gone. Because that's the biggest lie of the devil. You know, I believe you just get right back up. The blood of Jesus. I mean, one thing about me, you guys have a pastor that used to be a big sinner. I was a big sinner. I was good at it. So I know the power of God. I know the blood of Jesus and what it can forgive. So when I see people struggling and maybe stumbling and maybe falling back, and you know, I just don't give up on them. I just know, hey, God didn't give up on me, and I'm not going to give up on them. Because the blood of Jesus is more powerful, and it can turn everything around. Now, in our culture, we have so many things trying to tell us to keep our mouth shut and to try to keep our faith contained in this building. You know what I mean? You know, the world out there says, don't go out there and, you know, live your faith. You know, separation of church and state. Right? That's what they're trying to get us to believe. So then we go out into the world and we keep our mouth shut. I personally believe, now this is my own conviction, is that we need to be less concerned about, you know, separation of church and state. And we need to be more concerned about when Jesus said he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, that's the separation we need to be concerned about. Now, you say, I've seen sheep and I've seen goats. Well, this is a unique goat. This sheep and this goat breeds, they kind of look similar to each other. You couldn't really tell them apart from a distance. But the shepherd knew. The shepherd knows. And so we need to be concerned about that one. Well, that's enough hardcore, amen, scaring people. I don't like to do that. Well, maybe not a lot, but it's fun. No. All right, next point, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. That's what I want to get us to. Is that that's how you and I start to understand. And you say, we can never really understand God. Well, to some degree, we will never understand God in everything that he does. But I do believe God wants us to understand quite a bit. Because he gave us his word. And he explained in his word how he works, what he does, and what God says he won't do. God is very explicit in his instructions. And all, I mean, even in the beginning, God says, all these trees are okay. Just don't get to that one. Don't eat from that one. But, you know, human nature, they pushed the envelope, right? And they ate from the wrong one. Mankind died, you know. But God didn't give up. God made a plan. He devised a plan, which he already had in the beginning because he knew our choice we'd make. But what happened then was that what we need to see is the fact that, you know, God is continually revealing himself. A matter of fact, in Daniel it says, towards the end, even knowledge is going to increase. You know, some people kind of diss computers and all that. And granted, you know, they can be frustrating when they don't work. But I'll be honest, it's so easy to Google a scripture. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't know where it's at exactly, and all of a sudden you just know a little bit about it. You just Google that thing. Man, they come up and it's easy. I mean, have you ever had to dig through a Bible? I mean, back in the old days, now some of you younger people don't know what I'm talking about. But in the old days before Google, when you thought about a scripture, you either had to get this big old Strong's Concordance out and tried to go through, and the print was like maybe 0.8, I doubt it's 0.6. It's small. I mean, it's only for young people to look at. Or people with big, thick glasses. And then you had to go in there and you had to find that word. And how many know there's certain words in the Bible that are used multiple times? You might go through 100 or 200 scriptures reading, just trying to find the one that you want. But today, you just Google it. And you can find anything you want. So there's no reason we should ever be stupid. Right? Think about it. We should be able to have all the information that we need. Now, it says, by faith we understand. The word understand there is talking about perceive the intended meaning or comprehend. And see, that's where it's important. God wants us to perceive the intended meaning. You know, God doesn't want us to have confusion or misapplication or misappropriation of Scripture. And he wants us to have, now here's a word I enjoy, spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. And how important it is to have that. Remember, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We feed our body 3+ times a day, unless you're fasting or something. Then we feed our mind. Either we feed it through TV, through books, through all the different kind of avenues of information that come our way. But then we have our spirit. And that's the part that really we connect with God. And that's why it's important that we have a little bit of working knowledge about how that all factors in so that we can grow and we can understand, like, when we mess up, where that's coming from and things like that. Now, spiritual intelligence. Now, we know some people, you can all probably think of somebody, or maybe you are this person, somebody that's book smart, right? We all know somebody that's really book smart. You know, they're really educated. They're really educated people. You know, they can dot them I's and they can cross those T's. But they can't really relate to a real world all the time, can they? Because their world is totally consumed with the informational part. And to me, that's more soulish to some degree. And that's not wrong. You know, the mind is not a bad thing. It's a bad thing when it's uncontrolled and when it goes off and does its own thing and thinks about things that are contrary to God's word. Well, then after you have somebody that's maybe book smart, the next person you might have, I'm thinking about somebody that's street smart. You know, I always considered myself sort of street smart a little bit when I was in the world. I was a little book smart, although some of you may disagree. But I was pretty savvy. I was street savvy. I could size up situations pretty quick, you know, and still can to some degree. Now, when you're street savvy, you know, you may know where to park or where to get a good deal. But with that, you kind of only relate to the world. You're really good at relating to this world system and how to manipulate it and control it and make it do what you want it to do. But see, what I'm really looking at today is God smart. That's where we need to be. It's okay to have book smarts, and it's okay to have a little bit of street savvy. That way you don't have to pay retail, amen? Hallelujah, come on. Somebody ought to say yeah. How many hate to pay retail? I think we all do. We all want a discount. But when you're God smart, that means you're in tune with our Creator, who is a spirit being. Remember, God is a spirit. The Bible says so. Now, Jesus emptied himself of his divine authority and came down and took on an earth body for a while. But that body is different than the one that you and I can relate to. Now, he has a changed body, a transformed body. And that's the same kind of body you and I are going to get when we, not when we die, but when Jesus comes back for the church, right? Then we get our glorified body. But see, when we come in tune with the Creator, remember, he's a spirit. And so we need to be able to connect with God in a spiritual way, in a spiritual plane. Now remember, I said, Hebrews 4:12, and I encourage you to mark that down, look it up sometime. Not right now. The Bible says only the Word of God can differentiate between the soul and the spirit because they're connected, they're just intertwined. But nevertheless, they're both there. And each of them has its own function and the way that it, I know some of you are looking right now. I can see you looking it up. It's okay. I'm not mad. But, you know, anyway, but that's the only way to differentiate it. And that's why the importance of the Word of God, it says it's a two-edged sword. And it goes in there. Now, to me, the whole thing hinges on this part right here. Very basic principle. You and I have probably all heard this, and hopefully we are all this. It starts with being born again. John 3, verse 3. This is where we first make that step or that connection to God. It says, and Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders of that time, very educated man, understood the Old Testament. You know, he was in the Sanhedrin. He was a religious leader, they considered him, but yet he didn't understand spiritual things totally. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus said, what's a man got to do? Go back in his mother's womb. See, he didn't understand it because he was thinking out of his soul, out of his mind. He didn't get it. But Jesus said, unless you're born again, unless your spirit has been recreated, you cannot really understand or see the kingdom of God. And that's why it's important that we never give up on this foundational principle of the importance of being born again. Because right now, on this planet, I really believe this with all my heart. We have a lot of people running around thinking they're a Christian in their head, but they've never been saved. They've never been born again. How do you know that? Because I did it for a while. I did it for a while. I had some head knowledge about God. But in the back of my mind, I kind of knew everything wasn't connected, right? But I didn't really know the process of fixing it. You know, and that's why I said I was always a little slow. I went to church a year before I got saved, you know, but I did pay attention. And finally, I got it. Amen. If you pay attention, you're going to get it. And that's why it's important, you know, to do that. See, we're born spiritually dead, and we must be made spiritually alive. Now, God is a spirit, and so God wants to communicate to us, to us through Him. You know, we need to be connected spiritually. That's the best way. Now, I know that God can speak to our soul because He did it all through the Old Testament. I'm not denying that fact. That God has spoken, you know, to His prophets, and the prophets would deliver the message and different things. But God's best is for us to be connected spiritually with Him and have that spiritual connection so that we can be able to understand and be able to see. By faith we understand. See, it takes faith to get saved, but remember, God's given us a measure of faith. So we all have the opportunity, and we all have the potential to walk from darkness into the light. But yet, to get there, we have to do a couple, make a couple steps. Now, I want to fall back a little bit on one train of thought. The difference between persuasion and convince. Now, you and I don't try to go out and persuade people, although we do, don't we? You know, maybe you have a friend or a loved one. Maybe, you know, they're not really where they need to be spiritually with God. So we try to talk them into it. We try to persuade them. You know, and that's not really something that works because we don't need to persuade them. You know, to get somebody saved, it's not about winning the argument, right? We all go out and we try to maybe argue about something. You know, we know enough to be dangerous. How many have been there? I think we all lived there, right? You know, when I first started out, I knew enough to be dangerous. I could argue with anybody because I knew everything. At least so I thought. Found out I didn't know nothing. I was a goof, you know. Fortunately, I snapped out of it for the most part. I still have my moments. But, you know, I think we all do. Now, what we do is we present the truth and let the Holy Spirit convict and convince. See, it works in that deal. First, we got to feel convicted, and then the Holy Spirit convinces us. And here, I'm just going to take a little side moment. The idea of repentance, we don't really talk about that all the time. But we do need to repent in order to have that relationship. And repentance is okay. Some people say, I feel so dirty, I feel bad when I repent. You know, repentance is just taking out the old laundry. Have you ever had went and did a cruddy job, and you get dirt and gunk all over you, and you just feel dirty? And you know, you could put those clothes in the corner, and I've done that. If I'm going to do a dirty job twice, 2 days in a row, I may save my clothes, you know. I don't know why. But anyway, and then have you ever went over there and you put on dirty clothes? Oh, I just feel tainted. It's weird. I'm not a real clean freak, as you can tell in my office over there if you go that way. But I just don't like real dirty stuff going back on me after I take a shower. Funny about that. But see, we need to get rid of the old cruddy stuff, and that's what our repenter does when we repent and turn from our sins. Okay, now my last point I want to get to is God's creative power, and this is what I want us to see, is about faith and understand it. Because we are entering into a territory where sometimes we have difficulty connecting them dots. God spoke and He created something out of nothing. I don't know if you can... I don't know about you, but that's hard to get there. You know what I mean? Nothing, and then all of a sudden there's something. And that just expands our thinking. You know, see, when God spoke into nothingness and then there was, and He say, was what? And I say, something. That's just the way it is. There's nothing there in this whole universe except for God. And then God spoke. And then the universe was created. And that thinking is this shows us the creative power of God. Now, some people get hung up on this, and I hope I can help you get over it. How many like me to tell you where God comes from? I think we all would. I don't know. Don't worry about where God came from, but I do know where I came from. Amen. I can't tell anybody where God came from, but I can tell everybody where I came from. And that's all that matters. As I came into being recreated by God when I became born again. And I stepped into the life that Jesus Christ had for me. Because God's word is a creative power. And I know it's hard to wrap our head around it all the time. And you wear yourself trying to think it out, but the Bible says, that's where the faith comes back into it. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created. Okay, worlds were prepared. Okay, by faith we understand. See, faith will give us understanding. No, it's not just what we take at face value, but something that we need to take at faith value. A lot of times we're limited by taking things at face value. I can only see it, so that's the only reason I believe it. And then that hinders us from progressing in the things of God. We'll never pass that test. You know, things have gotten easier in school. Sometimes they'll pass the kids, whether they passed or not, right? But back in the day, that was a fear. You know what I mean? Am I going to pass? Am I going to pass the test? Because if I don't pass, I won't get promoted. And see, it's sort of like that with the things of God. I mean, we're never going to... I'm not talking about losing your salvation because you don't pass a test. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being able to get promoted to the next level in the things of God, where we start to operate in a higher level and to be able to see God's glory more in our lives and in the lives of others. So that's how we do it. The next word I want to look at as we're wrapping this up is the word prepared. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared. Now, that word in the Greek, prepared, means to adjust, to fit, to finish, or complete. It means to arrange something or put it in its appropriate condition. So when God created the heavens and the earth, he put it in its appropriate condition. Adam sold out in the Garden of Eden. And when he sinned, you know, Satan, shall we say, took control or took over in it, and it really messed a lot of things up. And that's why Jesus came, to put it all back in order. Because when God creates something, he puts it in the order. And I believe that God's word is still creating today. And because that word there is the Greek word enios, which we're not going to go in today. But it talks about generations or times. So I believe that God's word, even in from the beginning of creation, when God spoke, I believe that, you know, as we're speaking the word of God into our lives, into the lives of others, I believe our lives are changing. I don't know about you, but I can see a change in my life since I became a Christian. That only happens by the word of God and God's Spirit. Now, I think all of us, I hope, have come to the conclusion that God did speak and he created something out of nothing. I want to ask you a question. If you believe that God can create something out of nothing, do you think God can create something out of something? Think that's possible? I'm speaking about you and me right now. If God has the power to create something out of nothing, don't you think God can take our lives and create something out of something? Don't you think he can take anything that's already here and be able to put it back in the order like it says that it was created to be? That's what we have to do. We have to let God come in and take our life and be able to recreate us and make us into the person that we're supposed to be. We limit ourselves when we limit God in our life. And me, the way I look at things, I hope everybody can get this one. It's like if you have a 4-inch pipe carrying water, right? Those of you who know a little bit about plumbing, that's a lot of water. A lot of water. And that's God. Really, his pipe's bigger than that, but I just use that because my hand don't go any bigger. Okay, this is about a 4-inch pipe. Got all this water going through there. That's God's power. Then it gets to us. Instead of being able to, you know, we don't want all that power, what we do is we limit God in our life. So then we put this little 1/2 inch or 3/8 spigot on it, just about that big around. And that's all we get. We could have this, but we settle for this. Because we limit God. We limit him in our life. And I want to challenge us today as we're getting set up for the new, you know, this is kind of prime time. You know, if we're getting into God, you know, the summer's over, the summer slump, it's time to make the jump, right? To get back into it, and we're in it to win it. So as we're doing that, you know, we can see God work, and there's so much more if we choose not to restrict him. You know, the Bible says that blessed are those who believe without seeing. And I believe we need to let God have our life and let him make something out of something. Let's pray.